Okay, good afternoon, everyone. If you have your Bibles, please go ahead and open them, turning to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we are in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Hope you all are surviving the heat of August. I'm not. I'm doing terrible with it. Went to the doctor last week. He said I had the summer cold. Natsu kaze. Summer cold. Growing up in Southern California, that's something you just never even think about, having a summer cold. So isn't that like a oxymoron, summer cold? But yeah. Anyway, I'm there, so if I'm coughing and I start hacking a bit, please bear with me. But here we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, and what I'd like to do is read together, starting at verse 11. We're going to go to verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. Let's read together. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Would like to share with you on the subject of Christian citizens. Christian citizens. Now, Homie and I have moved into a new part of our neighborhood. We used to live in Nagatsuka San Chome, the third block, third chome of Nagatsuka. Now we live in Yon Chome, so just a little bit over in the city, but it's kind of a new area for us in that we're part of a new Hancho, And so this kind of block that we're on tonight is hosting a Bon Odori, a kind of Obon dance festival thing. And for those of you familiar, Obon is a Japanese religious festival. It's not overtly religious. Nobody's praying to gods or anything, but usually it's sponsored or sanctioned by the local temple. This one is sponsored by the elementary school. So we're going to the elementary school to participate. But we feel we want to be a light to our community. We feel God put us in our particular home, in this particular neighborhood, to be Christians in this neighborhood, to be the Christian home in Nagatsuka Yonchome. And that means that we want to be people who will share the love of God, the love of Jesus, to our next door neighbor, to our neighbor across the street, and to our Han. So we moved in, we gave gifts to everybody because that's the custom, but that's also because we want to be good citizens, we want to be good neighbors. And that's from the Bible, okay? That's biblical. And we're going to get into that, but we're just looking at 1 Peter to give you some overview and context for those of you who are coming back or haven't been tracking with us the whole time. I've been going through 1 Peter, And now we're going to start a section that is basically almost the whole point of why Peter wrote this letter. From chapter 1 up to verse 13, Peter is telling us the introduction of how we live through what we have in Jesus Christ. That's all part of the introduction of Peter's letter. You have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade because you have been born again into a living hope. And you have your faith is being kept by God, this faith that's been given to you from the prophets. Angels have been looking into it. It's such a pure and true and good faith that you can test it with anything, any trial, any difficulty, and it will still come out refined and on fire and pure for God. That's how much God loves you, and that he's giving you such a treasure in your faith in Jesus Christ. And so from that, you can relate to a holy God. Your life can be holy because he is holy because of what you have in Christ Jesus. And so we relate to God in righteousness, in holiness. And that's from chapter 1, verse 13, through the end of the chapter. And not only do we relate to God in holiness, but we relate to each other in love, in brotherly love. In the end of chapter 1, he says, now that you've purified your hearts by obeying the gospel, the truth of God, you have this love that's been upgraded from human love to heavenly love. And now you're able to truly love one another the way God intended for you to love each other and to live in relation to each other, not with malice, not with slander, not with hypocrisy. You don't treat each other with fake smiles and in falsity, but you have genuine, true, authentic love in Jesus for each other. That's all because of what we have in Jesus Christ. And then from there, he opens up chapter 2 with not what we have in Jesus, but who we are, our identity in Jesus Christ. Our identity in God is basically not how the world sees us, because the world will see Jesus and they've rejected him. Like a boy that's come to a girl and says, I want to marry you, I love you, I want to give my all to you, I'm committed to you, and the girl says, no thank you, I'm fine without you. That's what the world has done to Jesus Christ. The world has rejected Jesus Christ. And what the world has rejected, God has chosen. And not only has God chosen Jesus, but he's precious and he's beloved by God the Father. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who align our lives to the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, we also are being rejected by the world. But though we are rejected by the world, we are chosen and precious to God. That's our identity. That is our identity. That's who we are. You need to understand this if we're going to go on through the rest of 1 Peter. Because all the rest of 1 Peter, all of the submitting, all of the suffering, all of the being a good citizen, all of the being a good worker, all of the being a good husband and a wife, all of that is based on who you are in Jesus Christ. You are precious, you are chosen, you are holy, you are royal, you are spiritual, you are belonging to God. All of that in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Okay, all of that comes from our identity in Jesus Christ. And from that, we now move on to how we live as Christians, as believers, as the people of God, as those who have received mercy. And the first thing Peter does is address the problem in the church at that time of those in the neighborhood, those those in the community who are not fully aware of who Christians really are. And so they're accusing the church of evil. They're accusing the church of being against the government, of being subversive. And they're pointing their finger at the church and saying, those are the people who need to be put down, put away. Now, when the people of the people who received the letter of 1 Peter, when they received that letter, the persecution was not heavy yet. It was a kind of an undercurrent in the neighborhood, whispers. And they were being talked about. They were being pointed at. But nothing was overt. It will only happen in a few more years. Just give it about 10 or 20 more years, and now the Roman government will come down hard on Christians and will openly persecute the church in a terrible way. And Peter says, it's coming. And so one of the words that we hear very often in 1 Peter is the word sober-minded. Get ready. Get your mind ready for action. Chapter 1, verse 13, be as you are sober-minded. And also at the end of 1 Peter, he says, be sober-minded. Get your head in the game. It's coming. It's coming. So how do we live? How do we then live? The first thing of being a Christian citizen is to be sober-minded. I get that word from chapter 1, verse 13, and also at the end of, I can't remember the exact part, the chapter and verse, but he uses the word be sober-minded at the end of 1 Peter. And so in our verse, verses 11 and 12, I'm going to just look at it real quick. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as stay away from. I'm going to move this thing. It's blowing on my microphone. Excuse me. When we abstain from something, we're abstaining. We want to get away from something addictive. First things that people need to do when they admit that they're addicted to alcohol is admission. Yes, I'm an alcoholic. Are the things that are the desires, the temptations, those things that you wanted before. When I first came to Japan, and many of you probably experienced this, you come to Japan and a lot of things are new, a lot of food is new, a lot of smells are new. One of the things that shocked me, I thought I'm pretty international. I'm Filipino, I'm Asian, I could handle Japan. One of the delicacies of Japan is octopus, taco. And for me, growing up in Southern California, things with tentacles just was not edible. You don't eat that. And I thought, okay, well, I've eaten squid. I eat squid. I can do squid. Maybe I can do octopus. And then they put this thing in front of me. It's taco wasabi. Taco wasabi is raw octopus with wasabi. And I said, what is this? What, huh? It was strange. It was alien. It was foreign to me. We are regenerated in Jesus Christ. And the things that appeal to this world should not appeal to us anymore. The things that this world finds pleasure in, the things that you see on TV every night, when you turn on the TV and it's just miniskirts eating food and saying ooh, ah, and oh, and looking on their new gadgets. That's appealing and pleasuring to this world. That is alien and foreign to us as new believers in Jesus Christ. And so Peter is saying, if you're going to be a citizen, if you're going to be living effectively for Jesus Christ in your community, in your place you live, get away from that stuff. You know what that is. You know what it is. And it is now something you don't need anymore. And before Jesus Christ, without Jesus Christ, we couldn't stay away from it. It would keep coming back to us, or we would keep coming back to it, and we had no power over it anymore. We couldn't stay away from those internet sites. We couldn't stay away from that aisle in the store. We couldn't stay away from those images and those. But now, because of Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to get away and abstain from those things. Titus says that the grace of God teaches us to walk away and say no to ungodliness. And yes, it's a struggle. Yes, we're still fighting it. Yes, we sometimes look back. Yes, we sometimes stumble and fall. But oh, by the grace of God, we don't stumble as much as we used to. Oh, by the grace of God, it doesn't have the same effect and power over us that it used to. And we are getting stronger in Christ and weaker in the world. Weaker against the world. Excuse me. So we're abstaining from those sinful desires. That word is passions. And Peter uses that word. It's a key word that he uses throughout his letter. It comes up again and again. Desires, epithumia. And it was before it was the desires of ignorance that we had. This was the desires that we had when we didn't know Jesus. And he uses it again and later in the letter to talk about human desires, desires of the flesh. And basically he's saying it's everything that this world loves, those orgies, those drunk parties, those drunkenness, it's the anger, the malice, it's all of that. We don't need it anymore. It's not a part of us. We're new beings. So we're sober-minded. That's the first thing. The second thing he gets into, and this is a huge part, this is probably my strongest point of the message, and it's a big point in here, is that we are submissive. We're sober-minded. We're sober-minded. We're aware of what's going on around us. We're not naive to the attacks on our soul. We're sober-minded. Our eyes are open. Second, we're submissive. We're submissive. The key word there is found in verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. If you're looking at your Bible right now, I want you to look at it. Submit, and if it's your Bible, circle the word submit in verse 13, if it's your Bible. Now look at verse 18. This is what we're going to do in 2 weeks from now. Slaves, submit yourselves. Again, that word, submit. Okay? Now jump over to chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Okay? Pastor Kevin says amen. I'll say amen, sure. Yeah. But I'll say amen when I preach that in a few weeks from now. Okay? Peter is telling us, you're going to be a citizen in this community, in this world that is against you. You don't have to fight back. Christians are not ones who want to bring the government down. Christians are not ones to complain about how bad the government services are. Christians are not ones to point our fingers at the police service and say, they have no idea what they're doing. That's not what Christians do. We submit to the human institutions that God has placed in us. A couple of reasons for this. A couple of reasons. The first reason is our model is Jesus Christ. Our model is Jesus Christ. We submit as Christ submitted. He submitted in a number of ways. One, he submitted, thank you, he submitted to his heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is God himself, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He is equal in value, equal in power, equal in every way to God. However, what he does for the sake of us and for his glory is submit his will to the will of the Father. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for Jesus' submission. He submitted to the point of death for you and me. And it is because of Jesus Christ's submission to God the Father, we are able to have a relationship with God our Father. And so because Jesus is able to submit, it's not that he is weak, but it is because he is strong that he submits. Submission is not something that the weak people do. Submission is something that strong people do. And our strength is in Jesus Christ, who was able to submit to the very end. That's the first reason why we're able to submit. The second reason why we are able to submit is because God is a God of order. He's a God of order. God laid the foundations of the earth according to his wisdom in an orderly way. And so in science, in the sciences, in the world of discovery, that's all we do is we're finding the order in all of God's creation. That's all we're doing in science. And not only in science, but in civility, in society, God has made an order in all things, an order of authority. And so he has placed Prime Minister Khan in supreme authority in the nation of Japan right now. I haven't voted for Khan. I don't vote for Khan. I can't vote. I'm not a citizen. Okay? And then also we have a mayor in Hiroshima, Mayor Akiba, I think is his name. Excuse me. Thank you. Yeah. The new mayor. Watched him yesterday. Gave a speech. Let me just illustrate this in this way. I was home yesterday about 8 o'clock. Naomi mentions, oh, it's the 6th. It's the celebration of the atomic bomb. Not the celebration, the memorial. So we turn on the TV. And we see the ceremony. And everybody's putting the flowers up there. And we're, oh, it's Prime Minister Khan. He's there. He puts the flowers there. And it's the mayor puts the flowers. And then they have the speeches. And the first speech was, I think, the mayor. The mayor gave a speech. Good speech. Can't remember it right now. But it says, it talked about his commitment to peace and a nuclear disarmament. And I thought, oh, great. That's the mayor. That's our guy. Don't know him very well, but I'll submit to him. I'll honor him, whatever he asks for me. And then Prime Minister Khan comes up. And he's going on and on and on. Now, I'm sitting there with my wife, Naomi, and then Kyohei and Kenzo. We're just sitting there watching TV. Kyohei, he wants to watch, Saturday. What was Saturday? Curious George. Curious George, the monkey show. He's on another channel. And he's like, Daddy, can I watch Curious George now? No, we're watching the Prime Minister. Daddy, can I watch Curious George? No, we're watching the Prime Minister. Daddy, can I watch? I want to watch the Curious. No, we're okay, that's 3-year-olds. That's a conversation between a 34-year-old and a 3-year-old, right? Yes, no, yes, no. I want to, no. Yes, I want to, no, no, no. So finally I say, okay, son, look at me. I look him in the eye. I say, look, this is the Prime Minister. This is Prime Minister Khan. He's very important, and we need to honor him. We need to give him our submission. Okay. I didn't put in those words, but I wanted to get into his head. This guy is important. I don't see him every day. I don't listen to him. I may not even agree with him. But because God has placed him in a certain position over me, for those who are under me, I need to turn their heads towards him in the same way I turn my head towards him, in submission, in honor. Because God put him there. God is a God of order. And the same way I will respect Khan, I will respect the new mayor. And how do I do this practically? For us who are foreigners, this is huge. Every document, every application, every hoop and hole loop that we have to jump through, because, man, I feel like as a foreigner, I have to fill out documents pretty much the whole time I'm here. If I want to buy this property, if I want to drive, if I want to work, if I want to just go somewhere, I have to fill out a form, I have to go to this place, I have to, you know, stand in that line and wait and wait and, you know, go through all these loops and loops and loops. For some of you who know how long it took me to get my driver's license, you know how long it took. And it tries our patience. For those of us who are not Japanese, who are not used to filling out all these forms, it's hard for us. And it wears us down. And to do it with patience and to do it with a smile and with a good attitude, that's not easy. But Peter says we submit to our authorities. We honor the king and we honor everyone. That's a big word in 1 Peter, honor, honor. I wish I had time to go over that. But he says honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Be happy when you fill out your applications. Be happy when you have to stand in line and wait. Have a good attitude when you go to the hospital and they tell you you have to have all these paperwork and you didn't prepare it. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I will submit. I will honor everyone. That's what Christians ought to do. Why? Because that's what God has been telling his people all throughout history. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 5, there's a little story. I think this is just crucial for us to get. There's a little girl. 1 Kings chapter 5, a little girl, she has a family, she's growing up, and the Syrian army comes, attacks her village, kills her family, her mother, her father, her siblings. The Syrian army takes her away into captivity, into Syria. This is just a little girl, could be a junior high school student. She ends up being a slave to a woman. And this woman, her husband happens to be the Secretary of Defense. He's the highest military position in the Syrian army. He has leprosy. He has a disease. He's dying. Now, if I'm a little girl, and this man is responsible for the death of my family, the death of my friends, the destruction of my village, I will hate this man. But the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 2, she saved him. She saved him. She submitted to him. But more than submitting to him, she honored him. She loved him. How did she do it? This is what she did. She told him of a way his leprosy could be healed. She knew of a man named Elisha, who was a man of God, who could heal people. And she told her mistress, there's a man in my country who can heal your husband. She loved him. She honored him. And for those of us here who feel oppressed, who feel exploited, who feel even downgraded by all those around us because of our position, our nationality, whoever we are, this little girl was able to honor her oppressor. And God honored her by putting her in his eternal word. We need to honor the king. We need to submit to all authorities that God has given to us. What this girl did was submit to his. She submitted to her master, and she served him. And that's our last point. It says there some key words I want to point out here. Submit yourselves, verse 13. Go up back to verse 12. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans. Pagans means non-Christians. The word is Gentiles, but basically saying non-Christians. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. Good deeds. Good deeds. Service. Okay, service. That's where we get our principle. Okay. Go down to verse 14. Verse 14. To governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, commend those who do right. Excuse me, that was messed up. Verse 15. It is God's will that by doing good, okay, doing good. So we have in verse 12, good deeds. We have in verse 15, by doing good, you silence ignorant and foolish men. Okay, verse 16. At the end of verse 16, live as servants of God. Live as servants of God. We're not only being sober-minded, aware of our environment, we're not just submitting to our authorities God has placed over us, but we are serving. That's the end of it all. We're serving those around us. As I look at Jesus, I look at his life, I look at how he gave freely, he healed and he gave, he rose people from the dead, he served, he fed the hungry, he listened to the lonely, he served. God serves us and we serve others. And by doing this, this is what happens. The first thing that happens is the ignorant accusations, the slander against us, it's silenced. It's awesome. It's awesome. We don't have to say anything against those who speak against us. We don't have to do anything against those who act against us. We serve our oppressors. We serve those who exploit us. We work hard. We serve. We do good. And they are shut up. We silence their talk. That's all there is to it. We serve and we submit to God and we leave it to God. Why? Because, again, Jesus did that. Jesus served. And though people spoke against him and though people plotted against him and in the end it killed him, he served until the end. We serve because of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I need to take you back to verse 10. Though you were not a people who had mercy, you are now a people of mercy. Though you had not received mercy, you are now a people who... That's the whole point we are able to serve. That's the reason why. It's because of who we are in Jesus Christ. We received Jesus' mercy, and so we give mercy. We go to Fukushima, and we serve. We go to Nagarakawa and we serve. We go to Hiroshima Eki under the bridges and we serve the homeless. We go to the loneliest people in our school. We go to the weakest people in our company, those who are hurting, and we serve them with the love of Jesus, with the mercy of God that we have received. Hallelujah. That's how we live as citizens in the place that God has put us. And so Naomi and I, we're looking... You know what? This is the thing about Naomi and I. Please pray for us. We've been sick for the last month, all of us. Just health issues. And what that has done is that we've not been able to open up our home. Our desire is that God has given us a house, not for us to live comfortably, but so that others can visit our home and kids can run in and out. We want to have our doors open all the time so that we can serve our neighborhood. We want to have people over every week. But we've been sick, you know. We can't have people coming in and getting our natsukaze. And so we've had to close our doors. But our desire, and I know that your desire, is to serve your community, serve your neighbors, serve your friends with the love of God. So pray for us that we're healthy so that we're able to do that. Not just you. We want to invite you to our house. We've only invited a few of you, unfortunately, but we want to invite everybody at some point. But we want to invite just everybody. We want to serve. So be sober-minded. Be aware of your environment. Submit. Okay, some of us, we need to repent of our terrible attitude against the government, against this CHO or that CHO or that office or this government worker. We've had bitterness and malice. Let's repent of that. We need to submit. We need to honor the king. Let's repent of our selfish attitude, our attitude that doesn't want to give the love of God, all that we've received. Let's repent of that. Let's repent. But let's thank God for his mercy and let's celebrate the love of Jesus in our life. So, that's our message for this week. Next week, Pastor Hiroshi will be preaching. Pray for us. We'll be in Aichi-ken visiting the Kashimas. And I'll be preaching over there. And we'll return in 2 weeks. So.